And this is chapter number 21, and we're going to read starting in verse number 13. But let me give you a little running jump into this, what's going on. Abraham was promised from God that he would be the father of a great nation, many people. So many sons, they would be as the stars in the sky at night, innumerable. Well, Abraham went through his 50s and 60s and 70s and 80s, didn't have a child. Sarah stepped outside the will of God, not seeking God's counsel, and of course recommended that Abraham take her handmaid Hagar, have a child with Hagar. Now, that wasn't God's plan. God had a son for Abraham, a miracle child. But Abraham followed the counsel of his wife Sarah, and Hagar became a child, and Sarah then was upset at what had happened. But God made a promise, if you want to glance at it, in chapter number 16 and in verse number 10, it says this, talking about this child who we know to be Ishmael. Chapter 16, verse 10, it says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude." So God promised that this child would be born and blessed of God. This was Abraham's child. It would not be the promised son, but God would nonetheless, for Abraham's sake, bless this child. So there would be a great multitude from the seed of Abraham here through Ishmael. And God promised that. Then we get to Genesis chapter 21, where we're at. Sarah had become very jealous of Hagar. Now, the reason, because God did, as He promised, bless Sarah with the child. She had this child when Abraham was 100 years old. I shared a lot of this lesson at the nursing home on Thursday. They looked at me and said, right? Yeah, they were. But God had blessed her. This was a miracle child. And this child, of course, was named Isaac. Isaac, by the time he was weaned in this chapter, in chapter 21, Ishmael was probably somewhere close to 15, 16 years old. And there was some jealousy already. There were some issues. So Sarah went to Abraham and said, "You need to send this woman Hagar, Ishmael, out of the camp. I can't have them here anymore." Abraham was very disturbed by this because he loved his son Ishmael. So that night God spoke to him, and that's where we're at right now. Let's look at this in Genesis chapter 21. Just start reading just a few verses. Verse number 13. Well, we'll go to verse 12. It says, "And God said to Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. And all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and took bread and a bottle of water and gave it unto Hagar, putting it on her shoulder. And the child sent her away. She departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And the water was spent in the bottle. She cast the child under one of the shrubs. She went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bowshot. For she said, Let me not see the death of the child. She set over against him, lift up her voice, and wept. God heard the voice of the lad. The angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said unto her, What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is." I want to preach this morning, What Aileth Thee? What aileth thee? Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, just to please be with our message today. I pray that you'd hide me and lift up your word. Lord, I just ask you for strength today. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just speak to our hearts. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that's not saved, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. Father, I pray that, Lord, you just please help each one of us to be attentive to what the Holy Spirit has for us. Many believers are gathered together in this room, and Lord, you have something special for every one of us. Encourage us, strengthen us, Lord, this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. So God came to Hagar. She's sitting there. We just read it. They leave. Abraham gives to them water and bread. She leaves with her son, who's a, without a doubt, a teenager by now when you study these scriptures. They begin to go, and the Bible says they wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, desert land. They began to wander. They just, as the children of Israel, wandered. They just walked. Nowhere to go, not sure where they were heading. Probably walking in circles. Easy to get turned around in the desert. The sun was beating down upon them. Soon the bread was gone. The water was dried up. And for whatever happened, we were not given the details here, but Ishmael became very ill. I'm assuming as a teenage boy walking with his mother, he carried most of their belongings. I'm assuming that, you know, the heat or something else got to him where he became very ill. Hagar just looked at things and in her mind, her son's dying. She had nothing to give him. They're in the middle of the desert. So she finds the only thing she can. She finds a shrub, the Bible says. She takes, no doubt, she places him under this shrub. I'm guessing it's the only bit of shade around that she could find. Then she goes off a distance. The Bible describes it as about a bow shot, which you could pull back a bow at the time and shoot an arrow, because she didn't want to have to listen or watch her son die. She's sitting there and she's weeping. She's crying, overwhelmed with grief and sorrow. And all of a sudden, God comes to her and God says, "What aileth thee, Hagar?" In other words, why are you crying? Now, humanly speaking, we would say, her son's dying. But God's question is legitimate. Why are you crying, Hagar? Because back when she was expecting this child in Genesis chapter 16, God promised that this child would be the father of many people. Right before Abraham sent them off, it was again promised that this child would father many, many people, multitudes. In other words, the child wasn't going to die. Why are you crying, Hagar? Why are you so upset, Hagar? God was not seeking for wisdom. Anytime God ever asks a question, He doesn't. It isn't that He doesn't know the answer. He's trying to show us the answer. So why are you crying? Hagar hears the question of God. There's not even a time for a response. God says two words. Fear not. God says, Hagar, it's going to be okay. Look at me. God said, I know where the boy is. Eyes are on him. It's going to be okay. What aileth thee this morning? I want to see a couple things here in this short passage of Scripture, and I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. Number one, I want you to see something to consider it with me, that number one, part of her problem is this, that she, her blessings were taken for granted. Her blessings were taken for granted. For years she had lived in the camp of Abraham. Now, I don't know if you know a whole lot. In my devotions this morning, I read where Abraham sent Eleazar out to go and to get a bride for his son Isaac. And he sent a lot of camels and a lot of gold and a lot of treasure. Laban wasn't the most spiritual guy. We know that from the Bible, right? But when he saw the camels and when he saw the gold, he was ready for his sister to join up with that family, right? There was some money there, right? Abraham was a wealthy man. The Bible specifically says that he was greatly blessed by God. Abraham had no doubt a good place to sleep at night. He had lots of gold. He had a lot of animals. He had many servants. He had many just all. I guarantee that Hagar and her son had a nice place to sleep. Hagar and her son had food every day. Abraham's son Ishmael didn't miss out on much. Every night, they went into, no doubt, a tent that was nicer than most of the other tents in this camp. They had the great privilege of living now for years in a place where they were taught that there was one God, and He's the only God. They were taught how to have a relationship with God. I pointed that out this morning in my devotions that I shared. You know, that when Elimelech was sent his servant and he went to go find, he stopped and he prayed and he talked to God and said, "Now God, here's what I would like you to do." And it may not seem like a big deal, but this servant had learned from his master how to have a relationship with the Lord. This is where Hagar and Ishmael had been raised. They were, if you would, let's just take a step back as human beings, they were very blessed. They were living in some, you know, they had food, they had a place to sleep, they had nice things. I guarantee their clothes were more than adequate. No doubt she had some jewelry on her. No doubt I know that he had a bow, he had an arrow. I know that they were taught some things. They had learned about God. They had learned about who He is. They had all these things and they were very, very blessed. I'm looking at an auditorium. I can look in a mirror and say it too. We are all very blessed by God. We're sitting here. We've all got clothes, and I guarantee you had something to pick from this morning. We all chose today. Probably most people are thinking about, I hope you're not doing it now, where you're going to go out to eat after church. I mean, we have a job to go to. We came up here in a car. We're sitting here in an auditorium with the inspired Word of God in our laps. We are hearing the truth of God's Word. We are a blessed people. Sometimes we take that for granted until it's gone. When our health is gone, we're blessed with the health that we have this morning. When health is gone, isn't it amazing how quickly we can go from just sitting in a pew, all happy, taking everything for granted, to all of a sudden we begin to weep. Because we've been taking things for granted. We're blessed with the families that we have. Boy, you come to that funeral service and you realize what you took for granted. We got a nice home. I said something like this Thursday morning at the nursing home service. You live your life, you work your job, you get your home, you get your car, you put it in the garage, you've got your things. And we just had the funeral service a few weeks ago for my grandfather. I went over to his house. Promised he had the same fishing poles that me and him when I was a kid. They would never spend the money on a new one. All right, there they were. Hanging there. Everything he lived and worked and saved and invested in. For the last 4 years of his life meant nothing to him. It was gone. I looked at that nursing home and I told the folks, I said, "You understand this." And I wasn't being mean. Some things you take for granted until all of a sudden you're in a place that you're not used to. We have a responsibility as God's children to stop and praise God every day. Quit taking these blessings for granted. Because understand that all these things are temporary and there's something far greater that we're looking forward to one day. And that something that's far greater that we're looking forward to today is really all that matters. You say, did your grandpa weep over the things that he was leaving behind? Nope. He didn't. He laid on his deathbed singing, "How firm a foundation." But when you live for these things, look at me for a second, Christian. When your life is revolved around cars and houses and bank accounts, and I'm be a good steward. I'm not belittling that. But what I'm saying is this: you need to have your priorities straight, because all of that can be gone in a moment. We take the blessings of God for granted. We're very blessed to sit in a place that says the truth. And I'm not bragging on Travis Burke. I'm not bragging on Kazzato Baptist Temple. I'm bragging on we have God's Word in our hand. There's a lot of people sitting in a lot of places this past week that did not hear the truth. We're blessed. Guarantee, because Ishmael was a human being like me. But there were times Abraham tried to teach him some things. He thought, whatever, Dad. When it's gone, it can tear your heart out. She took the blessings for granted. Number two, I believe she was crying because she wasn't trusting in God. You know what her life... How do you know she wasn't trusting on God? Because God said, "I'm going to bless this child." God promised this child to be the father of a great nation. And whatever God says, friends, it's true. No matter how our outlook may look, you say, "But Hagar really thought her son was dying." I know, but he wasn't. "But it looked like he was." I know, but he wasn't. So how can you be so sure? Because God promised. God promised. You know what our problem is a lot of times? Is that we base our happiness, we base our joy on what we see, even if it contradicts God's Word. This is how I feel, so that's what dictates my life. No, you're wrong. Whatever God's Word says is what you stand on. But her issue is this: I know what God said, but no, all that matters is what God said. But she became overwhelmed because she would not stand upon what the Lord and God had told her. And so she became overwhelmed because she wasn't just trusting what God had said. Because I know what she was trusting in. The bottle of water. The basket of bread. But when all those things were gone... Now look at me. When she quit trusting in what God had said, she lost her hope. She lost her hope. She's sitting there weeping without hope. God had told her what was true, but she had decided that it wasn't true. And when we take this book and say, "I don't see it, that I just can't, it can't be true," we become overwhelmed with sorrow too. Why was she crying? She'd taken her blessings for granted. Her bother was that she was not trusting in God. I believe her belief was in her trusted goods that she had. And it left her in a place of terrible grief. She's sitting there weeping. Maybe you came here today and you came because you're searching for something. You came today because in your heart there's a void. You find yourself trying just to find hope. But let me tell you something wonderful. This story has an unbelievable ending. Read the next verse with me. We ended at verse number 17. Verse 18. It says, "Arise, lift up the lad and hold him in thine hand, for I will make him a great nation. How did he encourage her and give her hope again? By just repeating what he had already said time and time again. God's word doesn't change, and the only way we're going to find hope and strength is just by looking back at the word and saying, it is true. Verse 19, and God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink, and God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer, and he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt. And the rest of the story is this: God made him a great nation just like he promised. But let's talk about what happened. She's sitting there and she's weeping. She's overcome with sorrow because her faith in the last years had just been, I've got a place to sleep, I've got a nice home, I've got food on the table, my son is healthy, everything is great, man, life is sweet. But then when all the blessings started falling apart, as many people do, as they live their life, and all of a sudden they can't work anymore, all of a sudden cancer comes, or all of a sudden this and this, and all of a sudden they start to look up to heaven, what's going on? Our faith is not in the things of this world. You know, I never get with the person that chooses the music, hardly ever, and I didn't today either, but I'm thankful the music today is everything that we're preaching on. This world is not our home, amen? We're just passing through. The things of this world are not what we live for. She's overcome with sorrow because God had told her the truth, but she just didn't believe it. And she wasn't standing on it. And now God says the same thing he told her before. Hagar, I'm going to make him a great nation. As she wipes tears from her eyes, God tells her, he looks, there's a well of water. Now let me ask you a question. Do we really think that God just poof, put a well of water there? Nope. The well had been there. The well had been there. It had been sitting there. She was so blinded by her problems and her grief, she was missing the provision of God. But when she finally listened to God, she saw the well. I preached that this morning because maybe you're here today and you're not saved. And you're living your life through this world, and boy, life is just, I'm just one problem after another problem. I'm just looking for something, preacher. And why is my life so rough? Why can't I get over these things? And there's some of you talk to me this morning about someone we've been praying for, and that person's struggling right now. They know where they need to be, but there's the devil's fighting them, and they're so blinded by the things of the world, and God says, stop! I've got the answer. It's been here the whole time. It's right here. You're here today as a believer, and your problems and your issues have got you blinded to hope, and you don't see the truth, and you're just overwhelmed with grief. God says, stop. I've told you before. I'm telling you again. You believe in me. It's going to be okay. Yeah, but no. Everything's taken care of. The Bible says Jesus looked at that woman by the well one day, said, if you drink of what I give you, you'll never thirst again. Friends, the well is still flowing today. And you can drink of that today. The well didn't go away. It's been there. Let me close with this. When she didn't have hope, you know where she left her child? Underneath that shrub. Look at me. When we put hope aside and we don't listen to God, we end up in the same three things: darkness, despair, dying. God has told you the truth today. He'll go to the truth. You can get out of that darkness and that despair and that death. How did everything change? God simply said this: I know where you are. I know what you're going through. that I've made a way, and it's going to be okay. I'm just going to sit there and let you digest that for a second. God said, I heard the lad. I heard him where he is. God didn't have to go looking for him. He knew where he was. He knew what he was going through. God says, I've already taken care of it. Go over there. Get you a drink. That child up. Give him a drink. It's going to be okay. To the believer today, believe in God, it's going to be okay. He's made all the provisions. It's going to be okay. You're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ? Come today. Take a drink. You'll never thirst again. Promised. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thomas looked at him and said, but how? I don't see it. Jesus said, Thomas, I am the way, truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You want to go to heaven today? Jesus is the way. God of God, problems have got you overwhelmed. The Lord says, listen to me. Trust my word. It's going to be okay. Run to Him today. Get out from underneath the shrub. Get up and take a drink this morning. It's going to be okay. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I